When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are going through the first video of the season, the first podcast of the 2024-25 season, and we are looking at the first round, the big dogs, the players you're going to build your team around. We're going to break down who I think are the top 12 best fantasy basketball players. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead!
Game, we talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He's responsible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter or X, whatever you like to call it these days, at Ball Boys Fantasy. And we are back, guys. It's been a little while since talking about fantasy basketball. I have obviously, or maybe not obviously, for those of you who don't care or live along the other side of the world, but I've been doing a lot of AFL fantasy in the past several months. But it is coming down to fantasy basketball season. We are in September, recording this 3rd of September at the moment, so just over 2 months until the NBA season kicks off and we are getting into draft season rapidly approaching. So I'm a little later this year into getting into fantasy basketball content, but we will be ramping up the content over the next several weeks and months going into the start of the NBA season. But what I normally like to do, my first sort of big return to the NBA space, is usually going through the pointy end of the draft, the very beginning of it all, where a lot of us like to overanalyze, critique and think about things too much, probably in a lot of cases. But the pointy end of the draft, the first round picks, and who should you be taking with your first round pick? And it is very important. Obviously, this sets the tone of your team. It builds the foundation. From here, you can go into a lot of different directions when it comes to punting or how conservative, some injury risks, and what not from there. So I'm going to go through my top 12. This might change as I get more across the landscape of fantasy basketball drafts, average draft positions, notice different trends and things like that when it comes to punt builds. And this is not a list of who I think at the end of the season will be the top 12 fantasy basketball players in order. And now you might be thinking, well, why the hell not? Shouldn't I be drafting the best players at the start and just going down? I think that the more and more I play fantasy basketball and more I have experience, this is my fourth season doing fantasy basketball content, four and a half. I did a few videos in 2020, but fourth full proper season doing fantasy basketball content. And the more experience I get, the more a lot of these first round picks don't matter as much. And a lot of the luck plays into it when it comes to whether or not they're available. I think the more important thing is drafting the strategy that you like, especially if you're a punting enthusiast like me. I think starting with the right template of a build, I believe, is more important. You can win with Luka. You can win with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or a big man like Embiid, if he's available, or Anthony Davis, or any of these types, or Giannis, if you build around them properly. And you might prefer certain punt builds or certain other strategies to others. I know I have a bit of a preference, and I will be going through that in a different video. So keep that in mind. Some of these players I actually expect to be ranked or projected worse, but I've moved them up slightly because of a few subjective reasons, such as I trust them a bit more in terms of their health. There's a few fantasy playoff scheduling involved in this, and also how confident I am in building around that player's strengths. How unique are that player's strengths, and how much in certain different situations do I think that I'm going to need what they provide, and what can I get later?
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ron, that's a big spiel. This is, again, head-to-head category league focused. I might be doing a points league version of this in the future, but for now, we're going to stick to the category league head-to-head side of things. And at number one, he is the alien himself. It is Victor Wembanyama. He's a freak. He was the hype guy last season. He was going in like the 30s or 40s, right up until the preseason started, and then preseason hit, and people saw what we all have seen now thus far, that this man is... The hype didn't even do him justice. We were asking, should he go in the first rounds? And to finish the season on a per-game ranking, he finished sixth overall when it comes to his value. In a minus one sense, he was seventh when it came to his value. I have weighted turnovers down in this kind of ranking here as well, so half weighting to turnovers. So it might not be exactly the same as a nine category ranking, but he was a first round player by far, right up in there in his first season. One of the very few players to do so, and I think it's only going to get better from here. He did that in less than 30 minutes a night. He's still not yet 21 years old, and he's just scratching the surface. We saw him get better and better and better, and I really don't see too much of an argument for anyone going anyone outside of Victor Wembanyama at pick number one. I just think that he fits a lot of different builds. He's going to average 20 points. He's going to average 11 or 12 rebounds. He's going to hit nearly two threes a game. Maybe he will hit two threes a game. Four or five assists. He'll get more than a steal. I'm pretty confident he's going to average over three blocks. Normally, I downweight that for a few people, but for him, I think it's different. One thing I can see improve a lot for him is his efficiency. I think his field goal percentage is going to go up this year. I think you could see an improvement in his free throw percentage and a reduction in his turnovers. All those typical rookie things. And when it comes to fantasy, that's just going to skyrocket his value even more. The counting stats are all there. He is just literally going to break the game. I would be loving to draft him at number one if I could. Strategy, you can go in a number of different directions. You could punt field goal percentage, I think, is a nice popular one with him. You could potentially punt any sort of things depending on what you're looking for. Threes, potentially, although he could fit a decent team. He's not a guy that locks you into a certain punt in that type of way that others do. So I think he is at number one. Number two is Nikola Jokic to me. He was the guy that was perennially up there at number one. Some people might still argue that he could go ahead of Wembanyama. He's a bit more of a known quantity, but I think there's a very clear top two this year. And I'll talk a little bit about tiers in this video as well. If I had a choice of any draft pick, I would want either number one or number two this year. I think after this, so many question marks start to begin, some more difficult to answer than others, but I think Jokic and Wemby, I think 100% of drafts should be off the board at pick one and pick two category leagues. That is, it might be a bit different story in points leagues, but in category leagues, it should be Wemby, it should be Jokic. I would do it in this order. I wouldn't necessarily fight you if you did in the opposite order, but I would fight you if anyone else was drafted in the top two. I think that that is a very, very clear consensus, and it should be for good reason. So Jokic is going to keep doing his thing, nearly averaging a triple-double, 1.5 steals essentially, nearly a block, excellent percentages, hits over three per game. He is what he is, and we know what Nikola Jokic can do, and I think those two are two really... there's not too much to argue with that front. This is where it gets a bit interesting, because I think there's another two players, I think, here that I go back and forward with in like a next tier. Two guards. I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at number three. Part of this is due to, one, the playoff schedule for the next player at number four. You can probably guess who it is. And Shai's playoff schedule being a little bit better. I don't take it into account too much outside of the first round, but inside the first round, I want my best player available, especially if they're playing two-game two games in the playoffs. I think that's a big negative. So Shea doesn't have that, so we can draft him with a bit more confidence. He had a ridiculous steal rate last year, and I'm always cautious about projecting someone to go ahead and average two steals per game. So I do think that does come down. However, you've got no Josh Giddey there anymore, so I can see a rise in his assists. And he's someone that just seems to be reliable. He's a younger player, played 75 games last year. I like that. I also love the value of a few different punt builds you can go around. You could punt assists with someone like Shea. You could punt threes with someone like Shea. Two areas that you wouldn't typically punt in a with a point guard. But he has that point guard eligibility. He has that great field goal percentage, that great free throw percentage. He gives you nearly a block per game as a point guard eligible player. So he fits a few builds as a very unique type of player. And I think that just gives him a little bit of an edge over some other players because he fits certain builds so well. And I think there's a lot of things you can do with someone like a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander in this spot, plus a better playoff schedule than who I have at number four. So he is the guy that at the moment I'm drafting at number three, who was a top three player last year, and fairly comfortably so. He was at times at last season the number one player in fantasy basketball, so pretty happy to draft him here at number three. Number four is Luka Doncic, and if it wasn't for the playoff schedule, he has an argument to be number three, in my opinion. He's just obviously one of the best players in the NBA, played 70 games last year, nearly a triple-double, very similar counting stats, you could say, to a Jokic, slightly fewer rebounds, but way more threes. But you sort of trade off threes and field goal percentage, essentially. His percentages aren't as good. However, the free throw percentage has definitely gradually improved. The field goal percentage and the steals has definitely improved over the last several seasons, which is great to see. High turnover guy, but you're going to have to live with that. There's no reason for me to see him slow down, I don't think. He's only 25 years old. It's just really that playoff kind of thing. And it's a less obvious punt these days. Before, I was very much in favor of him being a punt free throw guy. I'm less inclined to go immediately back there this season. Obviously, you're kind of not worrying about the turnovers in this sort of area. Could he be a punt blocks guy? Potentially, punt blocks and turnovers is probably the way I would look to go. But you don't have to, because half a block a game from your point guard is actually not that bad. So it's a little bit less cut and dry in terms of what you do in terms of a team building point of view. And just the fact that he's not super strong in free throw percentage makes it hard, because that's where those big volume and good percentage players live in those first couple of rounds. So you would want to, if you're not going to punt the free throws, you're going to want to have to address that in the next one or two rounds to make that a strength of your team. But I do think it's more viable than it ever has been with Luka, as he continually just slowly improves that year on year. So that ends another little bit of a tier. So I've got the first two players, Wemby and Jokic, as a clear, by far and away, top two. Then I've got two guards in Shea and Luka at number three and four. And then I now have a run of about, I would say, three players, I think. I think I've got about three players here, which you can argue, I think, in any order. One of which I think might surprise some of you and might be a bit higher than consensus. Again, I'm still getting just back into it, so I'm not 100% sure what consensus is at this stage. But at number five, I have Anthony Davis. Now, Anthony Davis used to get penalized for his durability or lack thereof of durability. But these days, with the NBA in the state that it is, most players inside the first round are not playing 70 games. They're not playing 69, 8 games. The 65-game threshold for the awards maybe pushes some of these guys up there. Anthony Davis played 76 games last year. I don't know if we can count on that again, but I'm no longer penalizing him compared to the others in this range as heavily, because he is still a risk. But so are a lot of other players in this range. So the other thing that really, really boosts his value is the fact that he improved his free throw percentage dramatically last year. Now, he was a good free throw shooter for a long time in New Orleans. And then for some reason, that just went away. but it improved last year, and it was on really good volume, nearly 7 free throw attempts, 81.6%. If he's able to hold that and be a slightly positive free throw percentage guy, that is massive for his value. He's a really, really good guy to punt assists or threes or both in that type of a build, which I really think is a strong team construction this year and most years. So I like that from a team building point of view. If you miss out on someone like a Wemby, I think this is your next best shot blocker who scores, rebounds, steals, good percentages. You don't have the threes quite as much, but obviously, you got the better field goal percentage. So he is someone that I think is very easy to build around. And the durability concerns, whilst are still there, comparatively to the rest of the first round, not as much of a concern because a lot of people miss a lot of games these days. And it's no longer just Anthony Davis. And there are a few others that are a little bit more worse off. Number six is probably where I'll get maybe the most pushback because his numbers don't suggest that from last year, but I am a big fan of him. And that is Tyrese Haliburton is who I would draft at number six. Now, he was the 11th ranked player and the 11th in a minus one sense last year as well. He played 69 games, had some troubling hamstring issues. Some people might be quick to be worried or concerned about that. I am less so, because it's not as though this has been something that's been continually an issue throughout his career. I'm not going to label him someone as injury prone after sort of an isolated incident, even though it was probably poorly handled by the organization in order to get him over the 69 games or the 65 game threshold. The thing for me is that he is elite in assists. He is the number one assist player in the competition. He is also someone who's really good assist to turnover ratio, which to me is something that is, whilst not a category itself, really valuable when building a team in certain type of punt builds. I love starting a team. One of my favorite punts is punt points, and he's the quintessential punt points player. So I will probably draft him higher than his projection or his rankings suggest he will finish. Because I like that starting point, and I think it's a very effective way to build a constructed roster, because in a punt point situation, you're going to get a lot of big guys, you get a lot of guys who get rebounds and blocks and good field goal percentage. By getting someone like a Tyrese Haliburton gives you the threes, he gives you the assists, he gives you the steals, and he doesn't hurt you from turnovers whilst doing those things. He still has good percentages. So I think it's a really strong way to build a team. So I like him at number six. Plus, it still gives me a bit of flexibility. I'm not forced to go into that direction, but it gives me the option too. So I do like Tyrese Haliburton. Again, I could see myself, depending on how the rest of the league and the draft kind of is shaping up, I could see myself drafting him as high as five, but for now I have him at number six. Number seven is my boy Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I had on the industry pickup team last year. He played 73 games and was kind of back to his best. This was a bit of a bounce back from him last year. The defensive stats definitely jumped back up a little bit, and we worried a little bit about the Damian Lillard effect. Didn't concern Giannis at all. He still put up his 30 points, 11.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.1 blocks. I expect that to continue again. Now, he does have that ongoing kind of knee issue, but they seem to be okay at managing that. He's definitely a guy that you're forced into a punt. You have to punt free throw percentage with a Giannis, which some of these other guys, you're not forced into that area anyway. But this is the point at which I feel very okay drafting Giannis. I think compared to a lot of other guys, whilst he has an ongoing issue, it seems to be at least a little bit more predictable when he's going to sit, and hasn't missed huge chunks of time over the last several seasons with other random injuries. So I guess from a confidence point of view in drafting a player like Giannis, you kind of know what you're going to get, which again seems to be something that I think I'm prioritizing a little bit more of than ever this season. So for me, he kind of rounds out that third tier in the first round, you know, with Anthony Davis and Tyrese Haliburton. So again, if you wanted to draft him as high as five, I wouldn't fight you on it. I've got him in the back end of that tier just because of the fact that you're forced into a bit of a punt and you just lose a little bit of flexibility there. You're kind of telegraphing to the rest of your league what you're going to be doing. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. You can kind of get away with it anyway. And Giannis got me to the industry pickup final last year. And the reason I lost in that final was not his fault. He obviously did his role. Again, bit of a tear break. And this part from 8 through 9, 10, 11, and then definitely from 12 and beyond, it falls off a cliff. My confidence starts to drop off on a lot of these guys. It seems like I say this most years, but I hate the back end of the draft. I hate the back end of this first round. There's so many question marks. There's so many risky players. And this is where I'll probably start to lean into a bit more sort of punt-heavy builds and things like that. So, again, you might disagree. In fact, a lot of you will disagree with this guy who I have here at 8. It is probably fairly aggressive, but I have Trae Young at number 8. Again, just the value of the assists that I'm getting from a player like Trae Young, only 0.1 assists behind Tyrese Haliburton. You no longer have DeJounte Murray there in Atlanta. For him, it's about how much are the threes going down. His three-point volume seems to fluctuate year to year. He hit 3.2 threes last year. You're going to get the points. You're going to get the free throw percentage at a huge volume. You're going to get the threes. He gave you 1.3 steals per game last year. We know where he's weak at. He's weak at field goal percentage. He's weak at, he gives you virtually zero blocks. He's not going to rebound a lot. And he's going to turn the ball over a lot. So, again, kind of like a Giannis, he sort of forces you into a certain punt. It's not as egregious as his as Giannis's drain on your free throw percentage, Trae Young's deficiencies are. You can make it up more easily. But from his 9-category ranking, he won't be this high. But I think from a team building perspective, and if you haven't already, please go and check out my How to Build Your Best Fantasy Basketball. It's a last year's video, but it's going to be relevant, I think, every year on my philosophies when it comes to building category league teams, especially for head-to-head. So I might leave a little link up here somewhere for you guys to go check that one out if you want my thoughts on that. And it might explain some of these picks as we go along. Number 9 is probably the guy that I have the toughest time figuring out where I want to draft him. It is Joel Embiid. There's no denying the fact that Embiid is a monster when he plays. However, the team is different this year. You've got the addition of Paul George, which is no small piece to add to a team such as Philadelphia. Paul George is going to take more of a usage than someone like a Tobias Harris. He's going to command the ball a bit more. He played 39 games last year. He did play in the Olympics. So right now, he's healthy. I have my doubts how long that's going to last. Of all the players in the first round, this is the player that I think from an injury risk point of view is the highest. I think I'm personally someone who I subscribe to the theory of, you know, you're injury prone, so you're not. You're an Ironman, so you're not. The Josh Lloyd saying right there, I do agree with that. But when you've a player like Joel Embiid and you have reoccurring, consistent, nagging injuries, and you're the size of how he is, lower body injuries on a 7'2", 280-pound, I don't know exactly if that's his weight, center, it's hard to ignore. It's very, very hard to ignore. So he was the number one player in fantasy on a per-game basis last year. In minus one, it wasn't really close. He was by far and away the highest-ranked player. 34.7 points, 1.4 threes, 11 rebounds, 5.6 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.7 blocks, elite percentages. He did it all. Every single category was a positive except for threes, and that's your center, and it was only just a negative. So it's insane. If you could guarantee everyone on this list was healthy this season, you could argue you take him number one over Wemby. Absolutely. But you can't guarantee that. And the fact that he is much more likely to not be there in your fantasy playoffs than a lot of the others moves him down to this spot. Now, at this spot, there are a few other guys who also have injury concerns or are guys that I'm boosting up into the first round because I think they're more durable. They're not first round on a per-game basis. So it is about this spot that I'm going to put Joel Embiid. Now, if I draft Joel Embiid in the first round, I'm going to make sure that I draft someone who I believe to be very reliable. And again, even that's risky in itself because, again, just because you've been healthy doesn't mean you're guaranteed to be healthy. But drafting someone who you believe to be as healthy as possible in the second round is a must. So it is a big gamble. I don't think I'm going to be drafting a lot of Joel Embiid this season. I don't think... I've got him at 9 here. I don't know if I could pull the trigger at this spot when it comes to the real thing. We'll have to see how things shape out close to the start of the season. But for now, this is where I have Joel Embiid at this spot. You could argue a wide range. Some people might not draft him the first round, and I can see that argument. Some people might be happy to draft him as early as pick 5. I could see that argument as well. I certainly don't think I'd go that high. I think the other guys ahead of him are just as serviceable, and you're getting elite stats anyway. There's no need to risk that for a player like Joel. So I've kind of slotted him in the middle here at number.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nine. So let me know what your thoughts are about Joel Embiid. Let's go to the next guy. Steph Curry is number 10. He had a bit of a down year, I guess you could say, but it's Steph Curry, and he's just one of the best players in the NBA still to this day. You've lost Klay Thompson. And again, I do love Steph's ability to be a very good player to build around, especially ironically as a punt assists or a punt steals point guard. Because of the fact that he gives you such elite volume of threes, his efficiency is awesome. The free throw percentage is incredible as well. He rebounds actually pretty solid for a point guard as well, at 4.5 last, which actually is down a little bit. But the scoring, I don't see going anywhere. The threes, I don't see going anywhere. The assists actually could rise. You don't have Chris Paul there anymore as well. The steals were actually really low last year, 0.7. I can see some positive regression coming back up closer to one steal per game this coming season. So I do think that he is someone, again, 36 years old is always the concern, but he's Steph Curry. I think you got to view these kind of generational talents a little bit differently, just like a LeBron James. And his game isn't predicated on athleticism. He's one of the fittest players in the NBA. So I don't expect a steep drop-off from Steph Curry. A little bit of a downside in terms of just age and getting a bit older. Their team does look a little bit different as well. So there is some risk here, but the risk is more the external factors. I don't think the risk is Steph Curry himself. I still think he will do what he does. And the Warriors moving some things around so they can be more competitive, I think ultimately is a good thing for Steph Curry. So I think he's fine at the end of the first round. And then my other boy, Jason Tatum from my Celtics, comes in at number 11. Again, this is what I said before. He's not necessarily, wasn't last year, a first round player. But he moved into the first round for me because of reliability. He played 74 games last year, 27 points, 3 threes, 8 rebounds, nearly 5 assists, steal, half a block, 47, 83. That's kind of what Jason Tatum does. Him not being in the first round is not necessarily because he got worse. It's just the requirement for the first round this past year was higher than it was the year before. I think you're going to basically see the same thing from Jason Tatum. Now, that might not be first-round material, but it'll be close. And I think of most of the players, he can be someone you can pretty confidently say he could play 70 games without too much concern. Now, everyone has a risk, but compared to like 36-year-old Steph or Joel Embiid, even someone like Anthony Davis and Giannis, like those guys all have a bit more of a risk associated. Now, all of those players, maybe outside of Steph Curry, have a much higher ceiling. But I think just for safety, getting a Jason Tatum at pick 11 is probably something I'd be happy to do. And then the last guy, and again, I do feel like there's another tier drop here. The 12th pick, I had a lot of trouble just narrowing it down to one single player. Probably the 12th spot is a player that depending on the build I want to go, because obviously you get the 12th, 13th pick in a 12-team league. You could make arguments either way. But number 12 at this stage, I have Donovan Mitchell. Now, he actually had an amazing season last year. He was, what was he? He was 8th overall when it came to minus 1 value. 26.6 points, 3.3 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.8 steals, half a block, 46 and 86 from the line. With less than 3 turnovers. So really, really good numbers. He's got a new coach coming in, but the roster isn't all that different. There's a bit of talk about the coach maybe reducing his minutes, which is a slight concern, and that's why he's at 12 and not at 8. And the steals, 1.8, you've always got to be wary of that coming back down to closer to 1.4, 1.5. I think the minutes dropping is definitely something I could see happening, but I also think that they're going to play at a faster pace, which I think bodes well for Donovan Mitchell. And my kind of theory is that star players will get theirs, unless it's like a dramatic drop. Like he'll go from 35 minutes to like 32. Like it's 3 minutes. It's a little bit less than 10% of a decrease. But I think you'll see an uptick maybe in usage, or they'll stagger the minutes between their stars a bit more. And a lot of the time, unless you're going from 35, and this is just for star players, like the players that the team is built around, if you're going from 35 to 28, like that's a massive change. But if you're losing 2 or 3 minutes on average, and you're still the number one or number two option, I don't think it's that big of a deal, because the team will still want you to produce the way that you need to produce to win. They'll just try and do it in different ways. So I'm less worried about that personally. The main thing that you could see drop back, I think, is those steal numbers. It's probably the biggest thing. And maybe Darius Garland, who had a down year last year, takes another step back forward. So maybe the assists come down from 6.1 to 5 or something close to that. But again, another player that I really like building around, I've said this before, building around a punt assist team from a Donovan Mitchell. You get the elite threes, points, the free throw percentage, the steals are really nice. Half a block from your guard is actually not too bad either. So he is there at number 12 for now as a solid option. To round it out, guys, to finish up this podcast today, a couple of honorable mentions here. I have James Harden, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker, and LaMelo Ball. All options that I think at the end of that first, start of the second round, depending on what kind of build you want to do. James Harden is maybe the most interesting one here, as well as probably LaMelo Ball. Harden, obviously, you don't have Paul George there anymore, so you're going to hopefully, or you would expect to see a rise in usage and potentially scoring there. There's a part of me that just is out on Harden at 35 years old. I don't see him as the similar type of player, obviously, as someone like a Steph Curry. So I think the regression at that type of player probably hits those guys a bit harder. So I've seen some people talk about him as like a 12th pick. I'll consider it, but at this stage, he misses out for me. LaMelo Ball is an interesting one. He was the 13th ranked player on a minus one perspective last season. Now, he played 22 games, but he still put up 24, 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1.8 steals, shooting only 43% from the field. He turned it over a whole bunch as well. Ankle injuries, they're a weird one, right? It's not like he's got a chronic knee, degenerative thing like Joel Embiid. He's not a 7'2", 280-pound center. My knee-jerk reaction is to say that there's not too much scientifically that tells me that he should have any issues with the ankles moving forward. But I said that last year, and he went out and only played 22 games because of ankle injuries. So I didn't. If you could guarantee me that these players all play the same amount of games, he'd be in the first round for me. Absolutely, he would be in the first round. He would probably be top 10, I would say, in terms. I'd have him ahead of Steph. I'd have him ahead of Tatum. Maybe I'd have him ahead of Trae Young as well, because he gives me a bit more steals and rebounds than a Trae does. But it's the uncertainty of how much is he available that pushes him down into the second round. But I do definitely think he's a second round player. And if you could start a team with Trae Young and LaMelo Ball, I would be 100% very happy with that start as sort of a back-end first-round team, because obviously you're building on the strengths of those two players. Trae Young, someone who you consider a little bit more durable versus someone like LaMelo Ball. And even Trae Young played 54 games. But I don't think we need to worry too much about his durability, at least compared to some of the others. So those are probably two of the most interesting. Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker, they're there because their scoring is super hard to come by later. Anthony Edwards probably has the highest upside outside of maybe Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant just gets the drop down for being a little bit older and sharing, obviously, with high usage teammates, as does Devin Booker. So of those three, Anthony Edwards probably has the most appeal to me, but he does have to improve some things when it comes to his efficiency to really get up there. But being the youngest of those guys, I could see him sort of entering that pick 12 kind of discussion. And again, as long as you're sort of building your team correctly around them. And it always depends on what you're doing on the turn, who you pair at that spot, because obviously those picks are back-to-back. So those are my first round players for fantasy basketball drafts in September. As of right now, they might change as I get a bit more across the landscape of fantasy basketball drafts. But just to repeat them, I've got 1, Wemby, 2, Jokic, 3, Doncic, 4, SGA, 5, Anthony Davis, 6, Tyrese Halliburton, 7, Giannis, 8, Trae Young, 9, I've got Joel Embiid, 10, Steph Curry, 11, Jason Tatum, and at 12, Donovan Mitchell. So let me know down in the comments section below, guys, what are your thoughts on my first round? Who do you have ranked as your top 12 players for fantasy basketball category head-to-head leagues? And let me know down in the comments section, what do you want to see from me this preseason? It will be a slightly different preseason than years gone past. Last year, I went heavy and I was doing 2 podcasts nearly every day. This year, I won't have the capacity to do as much content, so I'm going to be concentrating my efforts into the most valuable podcasts and videos for you guys. So please let me know down in the comment section below, what do you think those should be? I'm always interested in your feedback, guys. Please give this video a big thumbs up and make sure you do subscribe. The NBA content is going to be picking up very, very soon, and I can't wait to talk to you guys more about it. Until then, guys, catch you later. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.